Welcome to episode 162 of the Daniel Yoris podcast. Everything you need to know about cardio for fat loss. Let's go. Human beings are creatures of habit. We do a lot of the same things at the same times in the same way every single day. We are all far more predictable than we think we are. You probably put your socks on the same foot first every day. You probably take the same routes to work, which is maybe not that good of an example, but there are many, many things in your life that you do the same way, the same day, the same time of the week, the same method, the same order, for no particular reason other than that's just the way you did it. I remember in university, walking between classes, we would always see the same people on the same days of the week. On the Monday class, walking between our first class to the second class, we would see someone else who we didn't know, never knew them, never knew their name, never spoke to them, whatever, but they're walking the opposite direction of us, and we'd brush by them on a Monday. And then on Wednesday in the afternoon, between those classes, we walk by those same people. Like, we are creatures of habit, and that's okay. One such habit is that in the springtime, like it is right now, people are starting to think about getting in shape for summer, which you should have been thinking about that last summer and a long time ago and whatever, separate discussion, but people are thinking about this. And inevitably with that comes the idea that I'm going to do my regular workout, and then because I'm getting in shape for summer, I'm going to hop on the Stairmaster for 20 minutes after my workout, or jump on the bike or the elliptical or treadmill, whatever. But I'm just going to add in some cardio because I'm getting ready for summer, and that's the thing that's going to make me lose weight. Tale as old as time. Again, it's, you know, the first week of spring-ish. We see this happening already, or I've seen it happening in the gyms anyways already. Change of habits can be difficult. Sometimes they make a difference. Sometimes they're imagined in our head. For example, if you watch this podcast on YouTube or on video, the lighting in here looks a little bit different today. I've got just the windows open, not like the other lights, which is whatever. I'm not wearing headphones, so that's throwing me off a little bit because I can hear my own voice just naturally, but I can't hear it in the headphones, so it sounds a little bit different. So, you know, things can throw us off. Now, how much of that difference actually matters? It's probably way more in my head right now. It's way more imagined than it is in reality on the output and the way that this sounds to you listening or looks to you watching. So is cardio at the end of your workout, is that also imagined? Is that in your head? Maybe, and maybe not. We're going to talk about how cardio impacts weight loss in relation to kind of getting ready for summer and that kind of stuff in this podcast. We'll talk about whether it's a good idea, it's a bad idea, how it all works. Because remember, we always have to understand, or one thing that I always try to drive home on these podcasts is that we need to understand the basic principles. What is the underlying principle making the thing work? And then how can you go and apply that and find different methods to still apply the stimulus to get at that base principle to get the result you want, be it building muscle, losing fat, getting stronger, or what have you. I have a note here. Repeat this many times. Cardio is not about losing weight. To explain this, I will draw on my Greek ancestors, my Greek heritage, and the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which is worth a watch, to explain this. The word cardio comes from the Greek word cardia, which means heart. That means cardio training is heart training, not training your fat ass. So, there you go. You either got that analogy or you didn't. Cardio training is about training your heart. Obviously, training your heart is good for you. It's healthy. You want to have a healthy heart. Probably, though, a lot of you listening to this, you don't give a fuck about that. You just want to get shredded. And that's okay. I get it. We just have to know what's what. So is it possible that cardio training contributes to fat loss? Obviously, everything you do burns calories, right? We know that calorie deficit drives fat loss, blah, blah, blah. You heard me say that a million times. You've probably heard many, many people say that many, many times. And it's still true. Cardio training burns fat loss. So does every other thing that you do. But cardio training is not about burning fat. Cardio training is about training your heart. It's possible that you might be thinking right now, well, DY, you're so big on getting your steps in every day. Isn't that cardio? And maybe that, sure, it's mainly for my heart, but it still burns calories. Doesn't burning more calories make me lose weight? Yes, of course. Both are fair points. We're going to get into them. Let's remember that the way to lose body fat is to be in a calorie deficit. Yes, boring, you've heard it before, whatever, got it. Doing more cardio to lose weight is kind of the same thing as saying stop eating carbs to lose weight. It's just another method of attempting to drive a calorie deficit without tracking things, which is fine. Like I mentioned a couple minutes ago, we have to understand those base principles. The base principle of fat loss, be it a summer shred, be it a losing 100 pounds, be it losing 10 pounds, any amount of fat loss in any period of time, is that you must be in a calorie deficit. Calorie deficit means burn more calories than you consume. So there's the calories in and the calories out side of the equation. You can reduce calories in and you can increase calories out. Doing more cardio, doing more exercise, doing more movement is one way to increase that calories out side of the equation, driving a deeper deficit. The same as removing all your carbs could make you get into a deficit. The same way as intermittent fasting could do that. The same way as every single named diet or method of fat loss ever gets you into a deficit makes you lose fat is that they drive a deficit somehow. So knowing that, now we can start to understand and dissect, is this a good strategy and how you might want to go about it if you're going to go this route. Let's define something first. Yes, cardio, movement, exercise burns calories. How many though? A 30-minute walk at a normal pace. This is like a normal walking pace, not like a speed walking, not trying to get a training effect or anything like that, but a normal pace. And this is, I believe, for like a small woman. Obviously, smaller people burn less calories for exercise than bigger people because bigger people just have like more body to move. So it requires more energy, all that stuff. 30-minute walk at a normal pace burns in and around 50 calories. Okay. That's not a whole lot. 1 hour walk, 100 calories. That's easy math. I think we can all do that. Also keep in mind, a 500 calorie per day deficit across 7 days will equate to roughly 1 pound of body fat loss or weight loss, rather, 1 pound of weight loss per week. So if you're trying to get to a 500 deficit a day and 30-minute walk burns about 50 calories. Now we can play with that number up a little bit if you're a little bit bigger, if you're, you know, hustling a little bit, but for all intents and purposes, like we're talking about difference, like very small percentage differences. You're not going to burn twice as many with that at a normal pace walk, all that kind of stuff. We're talking about 5 hours of exercise here to burn 50 calories just at walking. There's to burn 500 calories just by walking, rather. You have 5 hours every day. This is every day, by the way. This is not 5 hours in the week. This is every day to hit that 500 calories. And just to interject myself here, before someone tries to make this comment or you're having this thought, your Apple Watch, your fitness tracker is completely full of shit. It has no idea how many calories you've burned, and you should pay precisely zero attention to it. These trackers have been shown to be upwards of 90% inaccurate. That's about as trustworthy as a social media website saying that they don't track your data and share your information. Like, they do. And your fitness tracker has no idea what's what. So you should not pay attention to it. Don't use it as validation. You did not burn 7,000 calories or 750 calories in your 27-minute HIIT class. Like, I promise you, it didn't happen. So, okay, if you walk for an hour and you burn 100 calories, or you're a little bit bigger, you burn 150 calories. That's not zero. So it definitely adds up and it definitely counts towards something. But if you're trying to only use that as a way to outwork your diet to drive fat loss, it's just an extremely inefficient way to do it, to go about things. I think there's an argument to be made where, and I made a post about this a while ago and based on this kind of same math and same principle, that there's an argument to be made that you might not be able to outwork your diet to drive significant fat loss, but you might be able to outwork your diet to maintain your weight. What I mean by that, and I don't want to go too far into this because it's a whole separate thing, but what I mean by that is this. Most people don't gain like a significant amount of weight all of the time. like most people gain maybe like 5 to 10-ish pounds over the course of a year. And 10 pounds is probably on the higher end. It's probably about 5 pounds a year, but it's just every year it's compounded. So could you walk enough to not lose 5 pounds, but just offset the 5 pound gain? Meaning you're just walking enough, like 5 pounds over a year is a very, very, very slow rate of gain. So we're talking about, it's that extra 100 to 200 calories a day. If you could burn that every day, could you offset the 5 pounds that you might gain? Maybe. You wouldn't make any progress, but you wouldn't lose progress either. You wouldn't gain weight. So there's an argument to be made there. On the flip side, and what we're talking about today is, I don't think that it's a really efficient way to go about losing weight, especially in a shorter period of time, just because it's so inefficient. It takes so much time. Definitely the main point, but you don't get, or definitely helps, but it's not the main thing. It doesn't mean that you get to not pay attention to your diet because you're adding cardio. One more thing, just addressing like the high step count, like, you know, people like myself will bang on about 10,000 steps a day and all this stuff. If you're doing cardio, like you're doing training, or you're in the gym, you're on a treadmill, you're on a whatever piece of equipment, you're probably hustling a little bit more than your regular steps, and for a longer period of time. So yeah, you're getting more, you're burning more calories, but more importantly, because cardio is not about fat loss, you're getting a better training effect from that than your regular steps. And so that's why you should still get your regular steps in, right? This 10K steps, it's a blanket recommendation for all the time ever for your health and well-being. Yes, it burns calories, but so does every other thing you do. Getting up, eating chocolate cake burns calories. Like every single thing you do burns calories. Doesn't mean that you should do that to lose weight. Like this is just not how it works. So there's way more to it than that. So you do your cardio for a training effect. There's a bonus positive side effect that it burns calories, but that is not the main thing that you do it for. So I think that, I hope that you understand that by now, that the main thing that we need to do is use our cardio for a training effect, for training your heart, for training your ability to recover, for your training. Fat loss, the calories burned from it, is kind of a side effect. Having said all that now, here is what I would do. If you're in this position where you're like, hey, I want to get ready for summer, I want to add a little bit of cardio to my routine, or you just want to get ready for summer and you're thinking about cardio. Because another aspect is this, and I've really come around to this. Sometimes you believe things based on, I don't want to say bad science or pseudoscience or misinformation, but kind of like incomplete information. If you heard, you know, 9 years ago that like doing cardio benefits weight loss and you do cardio to lose more weight, and you heard that, and for whatever reason it stuck with you, and it's kind of like one of those things that's in your head, and you've heard it so many times and from so long ago, and you know logically and scientifically now that that's not exactly the way it works, but you still kind of believe it just a little bit back in the back of your mind, because I have those things too, and I think we all do. We have these things that we've heard and that we've, you know, culturally known, and other people tell us, and anecdotally, like there's these things that we believe work, and they're not harmful, they're just not complete. And so the issue becomes when we're communicating that to other people, but for yourself, it's not harming you to like do more cardio to lose weight if it's working for you. So if you're in that boat, and again, another aside, and you know, if this is not your first time listening, you know that I'm going to go on these little tangents, and I have my notes and try and stay on point, but like I'll have these little thought tangents, and that's okay. So adding cardio is fine. Here's what I do. Let me take a drink first. If you currently strength train, which I'm assuming that you do here, I would continue your current strength training routine. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days a week, whatever it is you currently do, I would do that. I would add 2 45-minute, at least, longer is fine, 2 45-minute zone 2 cardio workouts per week. All implements are equal, by the way. The treadmill, a walk outside, a bike, stationary or outside, the rower, the whatever, elliptical, they're all the same. Because they're training your heart, unless you're trying to be really good at running marathons or cycling or something else, that's a different skill. They're training your heart, so it doesn't matter how you get your heart rate up. 2 45-minute zone 2 workouts a week, I'll explain what that is in a second, and I'd add 1 zone 4-5 sprinting kind of workout in the week. Zone 2 workouts are your low and slow workouts. They're cardio zones 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and they're all related to a percentage of your heart rate max. Zone 1 is kind of your resting, just like you're sitting, chilling, normal heart rate, your resting heart rate, that's your zone 1. Zone 2 is slightly above that. Now, it can be defined as a percentage of your heart rate max, but you don't need to know that. The most practical way, and maybe even the more accurate way than trying to do it based off some percentages, is using what's called the TOC test. The TOC test means it's a level of exertion where you're still able to maintain a normal conversation. So see, now I can breathe. I'm not losing my breath. But as soon as I'm, you know, running and I start to have to take breaths and talk like this, that's no longer zone two if I get to a point where it's that, right? So as long as you're still able to maintain a conversation, you're in that zone two. And again, walking, cycling, like, not that many people, unless you have a higher level of cardiovascular fitness, would be able to do this with a run, like a very, very, very slow jog. But as soon as you start jogging, most people are going to get into like zone three, zone four. So walking, light cycling are great for this. Elliptical is good, you know, whatever. Rowing variations are probably not great for this, only because like they're intermittent in nature. Like you pull and then you relax, you pull and then you relax, all that kind of stuff. So I'd stick to more of the, again, walking, cycling, elliptical, those kind of more repetitive tasks. It's really great for just training your heart volume, kind of building up your aerobic base, right? That's what this is for. It's going to help. It's the thing that's going to help you recover. It's the thing that gives you more stamina overall. Your zone five workouts, these are your sprint workouts. Now, I think it's a good skill to be able to sprint. Like, I think you should be able to sprint. And I don't necessarily, I mean, I do mean sprinting as in running fast. It's a good, seems like a good life skill. You should be able to do that. And for most of us, the last time you sprinted was probably like grade 8 recess, right? Like it's been some time. I wouldn't go into this right away. I wouldn't just go all out sprints. Like you've got to work back up to it, because again, you're not in your grade 8, you know, 12-year-old body where you just go outside for recess, sprint all recess, never warm up, never cool down, never stretch, never anything. And you just do that multiple times a day. You never get sore, you never get injured, anything like that. We're adults now, and that's not happening, especially if it's been many, many years since you've sprinted. So you got to work up to it. There are many other ways to sprint. Again, we're training our heart. So you can do this on like an assault bike. You can do this on the rower, the ski erg, which is the standing rowing machine. You could do it on one of the more running treadmills or like an elliptical, but some of the other implements are probably a little bit better. I'd probably start with the bike for most people on this. Good strategy to throw in twice a week or once a week rather. Keep in mind, we're trying to drive fat loss here. So if what you're doing wasn't currently adding fat loss or producing fat loss, you need to add more. Like that's how, like you want to get more, like you got to do more, right? So that's why my recommendation is you're adding to what you're regularly doing. You should also be setting your diet up in a way that is leading to your 500 calorie deficit a day. Again, we're not talking about diet here, but that's what you got to do. You set your diet up however which way you feel is best for you, most sustainable, all that kind of stuff, achievable to get your deficit 500 calories a day. And then any extra calories that are burned from this additional cardio that you're adding in, that's bonus. And that's how we make things go a little bit faster, right? Don't be adding your calories back in from the cardio. Again, especially not whatever the fuck your Apple Watch says. Don't. Just pay no attention to that. Assume you burned 7 calories from your exercise. Like don't add it back in. But it will speed things up, because again, it's not zero. It's something. Your zone 2 workouts are going to be a little bit longer, right? At least 45 minutes, because it's so slow, it needs that time. Your zone 5 workouts, your sprint workouts, are shorter in nature. Like I'm talking sprints of like 10 to like 20 seconds max. And 20 seconds is even like, you're not really sprinting for 20 seconds. If you do it on a bike, you can't really just go from like 0 to 100, especially those assault bikes, because there's some resistance, right? You can't go from 0 to 100 at once. So it might take you like 5, 6, 7 seconds to like get up to speed. And then you hold that for like 10 seconds and then drop off. And so you're going to do like sprint repeats. And there's a whole bunch of different workouts and things you can do within that. But these are relatively shorter workouts. You can mix these in with a day where you're maybe doing some abs or doing some arms or, you know, stretching or something like a little bit like lower intensity. I wouldn't do like a leg workout and then a sprint workout, like that's a dumb idea. Or even like an intense upper body workout, like not a day where you're benching pretty heavy or whatever. Like do it on a day where you're doing something that's neurologically not that demanding. Again, arms, abs, these kind of things. And that's a way to kind of squeeze it in there. Now, some of you might be thinking, sounds cool. I don't have 15 hours a week to train, and I'm with you. I got you. But keep in mind that like we're trying to drive more, right? So that this is what's needed. If you want things to happen faster, you got to do more work. So let's say you work out 2 or 3 days a week. You can't add any additional time for whatever reasons. For the purposes of fat loss, I would not substitute one of your lifting days for a cardio day at this point. Remember, the point of cardio training is not fat loss. I would keep up with those 2 or 3 lifts. I might introduce a phase of training here that is a little like higher volume, lower rest to have somewhat of a cardio effect. When you're lifting into the higher rep ranges and kind of, I don't want to say circuit style because it's starting to be a different thing, but it will feel more circuit style where you're just, your rest periods are a little bit lower. You're not like necessarily going to failure, or you're going to failure, but at a way higher rep range, 15, 20, 25 reps. You're supersetting exercises in opposing muscle groups or similar muscle groups. You can kind of get some cardio effects without necessarily sitting on a piece of cardio machine, piece of cardio equipment, cardio, piece of cardio machine. That's good English. Too much of the Greek ancestry there. Cardio machine. So I might introduce that for a little bit as you approach summer here. But remember, adding the cardio, like, it doesn't move the needle that much more than your strength work does, as far as like a 1 hour cardio workout versus a 1 hour strength training. It's likely that 1 hour of cardio in that hour burns a few more calories than like 1 hour of strength training, but we're talking about like a negligible amount. If an hour of strength training burns, well, I don't know, 200 calories, and an hour of cardio burns, again, at that higher pace, like training effect, burns 220 calories. Like 20 calories is not making a difference at all in nobody for your fat loss efforts, right? 20 calories is like a lick of a piece of food. It's zero. It's nothing. So it's not making a difference. So in that sense, I'd still want you to like keep your muscle, keep progressing with your strength training, especially if you've already doing that, you're already in that routine, like whatever. If you can only work out 2-3 days a week or 2-3 times a week, taking out one of those days to add in a cardio because summer, it's not going to change anything for you. I wish it would. It would make my life, my job a lot easier, but it's not. So I would keep that the same. Now, if you're working out 4, 5, 6 days a week and can't add additional days, at this point, I might look at subbing out one of your days for a cardio day. Probably not because of the fat loss thing, unless you really believe it. Again, unless it's one of these things that for whatever reason you really believe, then yeah, maybe. But I think that you should have a cardio day anyways, especially if you're training that 4, 5, 6 days a week. It's valuable at that point from a training perspective. You can probably strength train a little bit less, add a little bit more cardio, and you'll just be a better, you know, well-rounded athlete and better for recovery and all these things. I'd start, if you're only going to sub in one, I'd add the lower intensity day. If you're going to sub in two, then maybe one lower intensity day, one like zone 5 day. And again, that zone 5 day, you mix it with arms, mobility, whatever. There's a very slight spot reducing effect, maybe, possibly, somewhat allegedly, with like sprint higher intensity training and ab work. Now, this is like so small, but again, if you can believe it, it's not causing you any harm. It's so small if it's even true. Let me correct myself. It's so small if it's even true. There have been some small studies that have kind of shown this, where it's like if you do a sprint followed by a core exercise, you're more likely to like take fat loss from that spot. But it's so small But if you can believe it and you know, whatever, maybe it can make you feel better. So take that with a very, 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 very heavy grain of salt, but it's not nothing. So yeah, the point of your cardio training is heart training. Remember that. It's training. It's not fat loss. Just keep this in mind. If you're subbing in those workouts, like you're better off just continuing with your strength and finding ways to make your strength training cardio training. Like there's a meme in the, you know, in the fitness community or, you know, powerlifting guys more where it's like, oh, cardio, you mean lifting weights faster? And it's like, well, that's, you know, kind of funny. It's also kind of true. Like you can get a cardio training effect by doing that and changing the styling of your training. One thing to repeat here, that if you're really trying to drive fat loss and you're already in a routine, you have to be adding things. You have to be doing more than you already are. If you burn 1,000 calories a week from your workouts and then you change your workouts to be more cardio, you stop strength training, you add, you sub out 1 or 2 days of strength training for cardio, and at the end of the week, you still burn 1,000 calories from workouts. Didn't change anything for your fat loss efforts because your calories out due to exercise, still 1,000 or 1,200 or 1,500 or 500, whatever it is. It's not really changing that much. So you need to remember that. The cardio doesn't preferentially lose fat more than the strength training does in any way, shape, or form. The reason why cardio helps, or cardio tends to help more from a fat loss perspective, and where some of this stuff came from, is that you can more easily add more of it. Excluding considerations of time. Say you're already lifting 5 days a week and you train pretty hard, right? 5, 6, 7 days a week. Even let's say you train every single day, 7 days a week for an hour, hour 20, whatever it is. You train pretty hard. You can't just continue to like add sessions to that. If you're already lifting 7 days a week, you're going to throw in some 2-a-days, like maybe if you're able to recover from that, and some people, and this is like your full-time job, but then what about after that? Like, how are you going to continue to do more? It's really hard to, and most likely you're going to actually start to get diminishing returns. Like even 7 days a week training hard, it's like, you've got to have your plan planned out like pretty intelligently. You got to know what you're doing to even make the best of this. Most likely you're going to end up having diminishing returns, maybe getting injured or getting into some sort of like recovery issues and all this kind of stuff. With cardio, on the other hand, you can kind of add, like, you can add a lot. You can add a lot of it to your week without negatively impacting any of your other recovery. And to some extent, it actually, improving your cardio enhances your ability to recover. So there's value from a training perspective on that as well. This is why the bodybuilders do it. When they're getting right down to their prep, they're adding hours and hours and hours of cardio because they can. Like, these guys and girls are already training their ass off. They can't train harder in the gym. They can't lift heavier, add more lifting sessions to their week because they're already maxing that out. But, and without an exaggeration here, you can add, you know, 7 to 10 hours of cardio a week, an hour a day, an hour and a bit a day, without negatively impacting the rest of your training if you're really trying to drive fat loss. Like, it can be done. And that's why it's the thing that people seem to add or people lean on, and how it becomes kind of this part of this cultural seasonal cycle of like, oh, I'm going to lose fat, so I'm going to add cardio. It's not that the cardio makes you lose more fat. It's that adding the cardio is a thing that logistically can be done, and you can add it to what you're already doing. And when you do more, like, you get better results. Like, that's part of it. You know, like, fitness is one of these, maybe one of the last strongholds of merit and effort-based outcomes and performance that we really have, right? Like, you want more, like, you have to do more. This is just the way it is. And it's a pretty direct effort. You want to get stronger, you lift heavier weights and you'll get stronger. Assuming you don't get injured and all that kind of stuff, you'll get the results that you're deriving from the effort that you're putting in. So the logistics are the thing that make it plausible to add in from a workout perspective, from the calories out perspective. Still, the biggest driver is going to be dialing in your nutrition, getting your nutrition dialed. Like if you can burn a couple hundred calories extra from cardio, you know how easy it is to eat 100 extra calories, 200 extra calories. You'll do it without even noticing. It's nothing. It won't make you feel fuller or less or more hungry. Like it's negligible from a hunger and noticing perspective, unless you're really tracking it and meticulous, but you won't notice it otherwise. It's very easy to do. So it can just add it. That's why I said earlier that set your diet up in accordance with the rate of fat loss that you want. Anything that's going to come from the cardio, from the additional exercise, that's just bonus points at this point. So listen, you want to add 15 minutes of Stairmaster or whatever at the end of your workout, or 15 minutes of bike at the end of your workout, by all means, go ahead. It's not a bad thing. It's just probably not moving the needle as much as you want. Could that 15 minutes be better spent putting in some more effort into your workouts, adding in an extra set of squats? Could it be better spent stretching? Could it be better spent at a little bit higher intensity cardio? Could you accumulate all those 15 minutes and add them to something else? Could you do anything else? It's just not moving the needle that much, and it's not the thing that's making a difference. So it's not nothing, but it's not the only thing that you need to change. You need to change a few things and then add cardio, and probably way more of it than you think you do, because exercise in general just doesn't burn that many calories. It's not the main way to lose weight. It's part of it for sure, and all the intangibles and the mental health side, and like a lot of this thing with exercise, the cardio burn with exercise is a positive side effect of exercise. There are a long list of positive benefits that come directly from strength training that are far and above and more powerful than the calorie burn from it. So cardio is good. People should do it. You should do it. We should all be doing cardio to some extent, because it trains our heart, because it's good to have a strong, healthy heart and to be a healthy, happy, well-rounded human being. Like that is an important thing. But just not the main driver of fat loss. So add your cardio in. Do it with some intelligence. Now you know a little bit why. Now you have a few tools and some strategies as to how you might add it in, and maybe hopefully a deeper understanding of why it works, and how it can help you. And hopefully that helps you get a little more shredded for summer, maybe a little bit faster. And that's that. And if there's nothing else that you take away from this episode, just remember that the Greeks invented everything. Have a good little summer shred. Maybe listen to this on a cardio workout. That's great. Send this to your friend who you know is spending way too much time on the little hamster wheel, not actually moving the needle, not getting ahead, because you know that they need to hear it. Like, share, subscribe on YouTube, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, all the things. Leave a review. I would very much appreciate if you did so. It helps an absolute ton. It helps. Leaving a review on this podcast helps more for the podcast, which then helps you in return, than adding 10 minutes of cardio at the end of your workout does. So there's something to chew on. I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much. Go outside. Be a good person. See you next time.